This is awesome because Rodgers now is becoming the topic during like Mets games. This is late in the Mets Marlins game.
So where do you think he is?
There's a lot of possibilities.
Is he like under Pat McAfee's couch or something?
That might be the best possibility.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Vince is back on a Monday. Mike Spalding in studio with us today. Good morning again, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Adam Robertson for Debbie Lazaga. And then, of course, Greg Pancake Hill keeping us on track as always. Thank you, Pancake, for all your help this week. Lots to get to today. Yeah, it's going to be another hot one. In fact, turned on the AC Wednesday. Came home and, you know, it's a weird time of year with the summer when you have some kids home at some times and they're carpooling and working or doing whatever they're having to do. And, like, they don't even process the idea of turning the air on. So you get home and the house is just steamy and they're all in there just sweating. I'm like, hey, you know, there is a button right here. You
allow them to turn the air on and off?
Well, no, apparently they don't know how to do it. So I'll just be that magician who can cool down the house. But, yeah, so today, yeah, probably another day. It's going to be even more humid today as we kind of keep an eye on the weather with the storms and whatnot. Tonight, we'll make the news. You will hear from citizens, residents of Milwaukee, frustrated with the Milwaukee Public School Board. The MPS board is holding a vote tonight. They're going to vote on the next budget, or at least they're planned and scheduled to. We'll see if they do. And also, they're going to consider some candidates for interim superintendents. Since Dr. Keith Posley resigned last week, this following all the financial issues, they had not get their reporting done to the state DPI, so now funds are being withheld. Meanwhile, as people go to this meeting tonight, a recall effort is now underway for four of those board members.
All of this essential information being hidden from the public was the ultimate betrayal and manipulation. They asked us to dig deeper into our pockets for a school district and a board of elected leaders that have been irresponsibly managing our funding.
That woman with a group that is planning to submit paperwork this morning to begin the recall effort of four school board members. Then they'll start to gather signatures. You can expect them to be at the event tonight as well. And this will be one of those ones where you're going to hear some frustrated individuals, and rightfully so. And you'll hear the saucy sound bites will make the news and whatnot. But I'm very curious to find out what the school board actually does when it comes to the budget and what they will decide if they get to a smaller number of possible interim candidates for superintendent. So lots happening with MPS tonight. We'll keep our eyes on that situation throughout the day. It is 6:14. The Packers get back to work. We have sports in a minute.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
It got dicey in the ninth.
Yeah, it did. It was more stressful than it had to be, but for the Brewers, a win's a win.
Fly ball out to center. Perkins back on it. Still back on it. Onto the warning track. Makes the catch. This ball game is over. The Brewers hold on, and they take 2-3 from Toronto. The final score here this afternoon, 5-4 Crew.
I didn't tell the entire story there. The Brewers almost let a 5-1 lead slip away in the ninth, but as you heard, they ended up besting the Blue Jays. Crew off today, back in action tomorrow at American Family Field. They host the Cincinnati Reds. On to Green Bay, the Packers in the middle of a three-day mandatory minicamp. Players using the time to reacclimate themselves to the rigors of the game, but also to one another. Again, finding themselves with one of the youngest rosters in football. The term veteran is thrown around a bit differently for the Packers. Defensive end Preston Smith, for example, 31 years old, finds himself one of the oldest players on the team.
It's not like that. You know, I'm like fine wine. I'm getting better with age, as we can see. And, you know, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to work with these guys. I'm just happy to go. And, you know, I'm looking forward to the season and the things that's going to come.
Yeah, the Packers defense under some new leadership this season. Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator. He was hired this offseason to replace Joe Barry. Hafley's defense getting high marks thus far. Here's Rashawn Gary.
Attack, attack, attack. Aggressive, and I'm loving it. really just paying your ears back and relax and play.
As for Jordan Love, Eric, I know you're curious. Still no contract there. The team does wrap up minicamp today. Training camp gets underway July 22nd.
By the way, for those paying attention, the Celtics beat the Mavericks game 3 of the NBA final. They're now on the brink of winning the whole thing. They won last night 106-99. They're up 3-0 in the series. Game 4 is next week. I'm just kidding, actually. Game 4 is tomorrow. Game 4 is tomorrow. I'm not sure how many people are watching the NBA Finals. Just not as sexy as it's been in the past. Meanwhile, I do have an update.
Joey Chestnut!
Remember this story? Remember the story where Joey Chestnut, this broke earlier this week, Joey Chestnut, an American hero, who apparently decided to get an endorsement, and because of that, he was banned from the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Joey Chestnut is an American hero.
He is.
We want him on the 4th of July. America, the world wants him there on the 4th of July.
Needs him, arguably. Wants, no, right. Stronger.
That's George Shea. He's the president of Major League Eating.
How can we have a 4th of July if he's not there?
I don't know. It sounds like he's not going to be there because he endorsed this veggie hot dog. Nathan's can't have them because, hey, no, if you're going to participate in the Nathan's 4th of July contest, you need to be not endorsing another hot dog. Anyway, the new news is he's got his own set going.
Netflix is capitalizing on Joey Chestnut's ban from this year's Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest and announced it's streaming its own contest live in September. They're calling it Unfinished Beef.
Yes, it's going to be Joey Chestnut against his biggest rival, Kobayashi. Kobayashi's going to come out of retirement for this winner-take-all hot dog fight. As you know, both are Nathan's title holders. They haven't faced off since 2009, but they're going to throw the dogs down this September.
What do you think it's higher ratings, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest or this Netflix special? Because it's in September. It's not on the 4th of July.
This is true. I'm going to say Netflix.
I think so, too.
Because you'll get a lot of promotion for it. And right now, the field is pretty clear in the Nathan's thing. No one knows any of those people. Oh, we only knew Joey. He was the only one. But now we have this, and it's called Unfinished Beef. Here we go this September. 6:19, the future of the local bowling alley. That story next. Storm clouds
are raging all around. We're going to talk about the finances. It seems to me that there might be a concern that those rich guys are making money off of me.
We're definitely talking about the finances of bowling. The Midwest's favorite sport, and one that the New York Times has called the most popular participation sport in the country. About 70 million Americans said that they hit the lanes at least once per year. America's favorite non-baseball pastime finds itself at a crossroads. Like small businesses across the country, bowling alleys are getting gobbled up one by one or sometimes 10 by 10 by major corporations looking to parlay that $5 billion industry into part of their portfolio. One of the 3,700 bowling centers left in America, you will notice a name plastered on the side of hundreds.
B-O-W-L-E-R-O, Bolero. B-O-W-L-E-R-O, Bolero.
Yes, Bolero, that publicly traded company, now owns 350 bowling centers and counting across the country. Mike Jakubowski works alongside the Pro Bowlers Association, carries an average of north of 200. Does he bowl several games per week and all is right. About as an insider as you can get this side of Pete Weber. A native of West Allis, Mike and I caught up to talk about the industry, how it resonates in today's world, and where the sport's headed in the world of private equity. I kind of look at it like movie theaters a little bit back in the 70s and 80s, where every community had their movie theater. I feel like the same thing with bowling alleys. And I don't know if it's just me anecdotally noticing, but it feels like that is less and less as far as the mom and pop alleys and lanes go. Is that the case, or is that just my perception?
It's a mixture. There are still independently owned bowling centers, and there are corporate bowling centers. And what has happened is there's just been an explosion of sports and sporting things to do since that same time period. So anyone in the bowling business has had to do things that were never thought of before. Having specific cool food items, leaning into the different cosmic and lighting displays and adding video games and laser tag and other things. So to me, it's an industry that it very much like every other industry has had to adapt over the last 4 decades.
And if we're using the allegory for the movie theaters, that's why the Marcuses and the AMCs exist. And in the bowling world, you can get AMF lanes, you can get Bolero's, a major one too. You get sort of the conglomeratization, I guess you would, of bowling. What effect has that had on alleys? Because I know sometimes it can get very expensive when you're thinking of a dollar an hour bowling. That doesn't exist seemingly as much as it did.
Everything is more expensive. And to have all of those things exist as either an independent operator or as a corporate operator with multiple locations, in my mind, places that can stay open are golden. And the market will decide where people would like to go spend their time and spend their dollar.
Is there something to be said about bowling in a small alley, though, that has like 6 lanes?
Yes! Yes, there is. I was just in one. We had our PBA Tour Finals at a place called Steel City Brews and Bowl in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And some very innovative owners, Lee and Chris DeSant, have taken this place over, 24-lane center, and have completely remodeled it. And there are places like that here in Milwaukee. A Bayview Bowl is a good example of one of those. But yes, because it's such a unique event, and it's akin to walking into a ballpark and seeing that green grass and immediately being taken in by why you're there. A similar feeling when you walk into any kind of bowling operation.
How important is that price point for bowling to maintain? I think the New York Times said 70 million people say they go to a bowling alley at least once per year. How important is that price point? And if it is more of a business model where it's, you know, the McDonald's of the world take over bowling alleys, does that stick? Does that price point stick around, or does it start to phase people out, do you think?
The wider circle, sure. There's a large number of people that might stick their head in the bowling center once a year. And then you get those concentric circles that define the serious league player, the birthday parties, the other type business that things bring in. And I don't know that you can survive as a bowling operator, as an independent or as corporate, without entertaining the notion that you need to have 4 or 5 different constituencies that can fill your leagues, can bring in some corporate business, can do some other things. You add a volleyball court outside. You have your own wing sauce because you're bringing in people to have something to eat afterwards.
Steer your crystal ball for me. 15 years from now, does the charming bowling alley as a model still exist as it has?
I believe it will. I believe that there are enough people out there that want to have the type of product available that would attract people that would want that sort of thing. And I'm also looking at 15 years down the road. What does our cell phone look like? What is the next level of digital entertainment? What is the next Netflix thing that we haven't even thought of yet? And will the thought that I want human interaction, I'd like to be physically active, I'd like to incorporate some of that. So not only am I thinking about bowling, but I'm also thinking about everything that surrounds bowling, because all that other stuff has just as much impact on what could be a bowling experience 15 years from now.
So where is number 12? That story at 6:45. Summerfest is quickly approaching. Of course, 3 weekends of music at the lakefront coming up. In Lollapalooza in Chicago, they have Lollapalooza isn't exactly the same, but essentially it is, right? I mean,
giant music festival. Yeah.
And one of the items that Lollapalooza does differently than what we do here in Summerfest is they have after parties. So they'll shut down the actual events at Lollapalooza, but then they'll have sponsored events where they'll have musicians play at local establishments in the city of Chicago. And it's meant as a way to help, you know, raise the city in some of these establishments as well. And Gary Witt, who's the owner of the Pabst Theater Group, of course, Pabst Theater and the different venues in town, obviously he has a stake in this. He was on The Upswing with Jeff Sherman on Wednesday, and he brought that up wondering if Summerfest could do something similar.
In theory, Summerfest exists. One of the reasons to be able to grow and develop business in the city of Milwaukee. So the fact that Summerfest closes as late as it does pretty much causes all the business that takes place in Milwaukee other than hotels that take place at Summerfest. So Summerfest, I believe, should act more like Lollapalooza. Other than the main stage at the amphitheater, the rest of Summerfest should close at 10 o'clock and they should host events downtown in Milwaukee. And we're not thinking about this for our venues only. Right. It should be at restaurants and bars and coffee shops where artists can appear and it becomes a real experience for people who travel to the city of Milwaukee to then experience the rest of downtown.
What do you think of that? This idea of having folks who are coming to the city to Summerfest then go out to other venues. Milwaukee ain't as big as Chicago.
In theory, I like the idea. It sounds great. And I've gone to some of those post-Lollapalooza shows before, and they are very cool. You can see a band in, and sometimes they'll play like a really small venue, and they'll do an acoustic show or something like that. But your point is great, is Milwaukee is not Chicago. Chicago, you have places that are open till 2, 3 in the morning. That doesn't happen here. In theory, love it. I don't know how real it could become.
You know, many Summerfest goers say one of the charms of Summerfest, too, is that you can walk from stage to stage. Mm-hmm. You can literally see 3 or 4 bands all at once that you really like and have on your playlist and whatnot. So interesting thought that they're doing in Chicago. Not sure if we'll see it anytime soon here in Milwaukee. 639 Everyday Hero next. Time to honor ourselves an everyday hero. An everyday hero is when Wisconsin's Morning News celebrates an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Everyday Hero is sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. Today we head to Texarkana, Texas. That's right on the state line there with Texas and Arkansas. Get it? Texarkana.
Yeah, I like what you did there. Did you make that up? Did you invent that?
No, it's a real place. This is where Ricky Dumas was enjoying a nice day at the lake. He was fishing. It's something he enjoys to do. Beautiful day when he heard a commotion at Bringle Park's boat ramp. This is, of course, where oftentimes you'll launch the boats, if you will. Fishermen will go out there, whatnot. He was on the side, on the shore. Well, TexarkanaFYI.com reports that Dumas wondered what the noise was. So he made a point to check out the scene. He walked over that way, and he saw that an elderly man had accidentally driven his Honda Accord into the lake, and it was quickly sinking into the murky water. So, you know, you go in there down that ramp, probably inadvertently didn't realize, and then it starts taking on water, and here it starts going. It starts getting pulled into this murky water. Dumas rushes to the scene. He finds the 79-year-old trapped in the car. It's quickly filling up with water. And despite the looming danger of climbing into a vehicle that is quickly filling with water, he ran, swam out into the car, pulled the man out before the car submerged. The man is okay, thanks to Dumas. And now, authorities are praising Dumas for his swift and selfless actions. They say he saved the man's life. He was just fishing. It'd be very easy not to do anything. Be very easy. Well, I went, I'll call 911 and watch and see what happens. No, he ran out into the water, swam in, and pulled the guy out. That car, by the way, remains submerged into the lake. Thank you, Ricky, for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
It was a wild one at American Family Field. The Brewers beat the Blue Jays 5-4 Wednesday, taking 2 out of 3 games of that series. The Crews win aided by a 5-run sixth inning that was anything but routine.
There goes the runner. The pitch is down and in. And he's going to get caught in a rundown. And the ball gets away from the shortstop, Bichette, and rolls into shallow right field. Coming down the line and scoring is Perkins. On his way to third goes Terang.
Now, if you're keeping score at home, that's a double steal by Bryce Terang and Blake Perkins, a throwing error by the catcher for the Blue Jays, allowing Perkins to score from third. Terang ultimately ended up, or from third, Terang ultimately ends up on third base.
Got it.
The game was then tied at one run apiece. The Crews bats then got to work.
Ball on the right side into right field, base hit Contreras. Terang trots home. The Brewers lead it 2-1. And the pitch. Yelich a bouncer on the left side. It's going to get under the glove of Clement and trickle into left field. Contreras around third. The Brewers have a 3-1 lead. High fly ball deep center field. Marsho's back. Track. Bye. Bye. Baseball. Willie Adames with an exclamation point here in the sixth.
The Brewers gave up that 5-1 lead, though, on top of the ninth. Ultimately, Trevor McGill able to close the door on the Blue Jays rally, his 11th save of the season. Brewers off tonight before starting a 3-game series with the Reds tomorrow. In Green Bay, mini camps underway, and the vibes are good.
You can tell the energy around the building from top to bottom is great, especially on defense, having, you know, kind of a whole new staff, you know, kind of a whole new life. And we're loving it on defense and with the offense, man. I love these swaggers. It's not like last year at all. So we come back, everybody work day in and day out. Like I told everybody, come back, you know, 1% better than what we were today when we left. We're going to be fine and where we want to be.
That's Rashawn Gary speaking to reporters after swagger, yesterday. Huh? Some swagger. Right. And what stuck out to me, Eric, was the not like last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a subtle dig or, I mean, it was clearly a subtle dig. I don't know what it was alluding to, though. Maybe the vibes weren't as good.
They weren't feeling good.
Regardless, minicamp runs through the end of the day today. Training camp starts next month.
Speaking of training camp, Aaron Rodgers is skipping mandatory minicamp with the Jets, and it is unexcused. Here's the thing. No one is saying where he's at. The Athletic's Diana Rossini on Sirius Radio.
This is 100% Aaron Rodgers making a choice to not be at football practice with the New York Jets while the rest of the team is there working, choosing to do something else.
All right. I guess so. This is awesome because Rodgers now is becoming the topic during like Mets games. This is late in the Mets-Marlins game.
So where do you think he is?
There's a lot of possibilities.
Is he like under Pat McAfee's couch or something?
That might be the best possibility. Man,
so yeah, so Rodgers getting all the attention right now. Nice work. Enjoy. 6:49.
You may be right.
6:53. Fresh off her big win on ESPN's Around the Horn. First time you were on that show, too, right, Jen Latta? Sorry, hold on. Let's get you. There you go.
There we go. Very first time. Very exciting. I said yesterday when we had Adam Schefter on our show, that was a bucket list for me. I have been watching Around the Horn for 20-plus years. I remember being fresh out of college. I remember where I was sitting. I remember watching it and thinking, what a fun debate show this is. And Tony Reale and company have kept it going. It is a tentpole of the ESPN daytime programming, and I have wanted to be on it and finally got my opportunity. And guys, they asked me to come back.
Yeah, like, yeah, I knew they would.
Well, obviously, you're the winner.
Well, I mean, sometimes I think, like, look, he gave me 20 points at the beginning of the show. I was like, I can't hold on to this, and I narrowly squeaked one out. So yes, I was very happy to have success on that. But more importantly, that they have invited me back.
Yeah, nice job. Looked really good. You sounded good. Sounded bright. So well done there. Nice job.
Fool them all.
Hey, got to ask you about this. We have an update on this story.
Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. So Joey Chestnut, as we all know, was banned now from Nathan's hot dog eating contest on July 4th. Because he signed on with Impossible Foods. He's endorsing a vegan hot dog now. And that's, you can't do that if you're going to
Why?
Well, Nathan, that's a competitor.
Is it? Do people that drive Hummers all of a sudden go, you know what? Been driving this gas guzzler for a while. It's time to switch to a Prius. They don't. These are two independent consumer groups.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you, but Nathan said, hey, no, you can't do both. So they banned him. But now we have an update. This is fantastic. Two professional eating champs are finally going to settle their beef. Joey Chestnut is going to go, one-on-one with Kobayashi. Kobayashi's going to come out of retirement and they're going to do a one-on-one hot dog eating contest on Netflix this September.
So let me get this straight. Joey Jaws Chestnut is in his prime. He is, he has been wrong.
Yes.
And then Kobayashi is like, I'm just going to roll up off the couch and I'm going to do this thing. Has Kobayashi been training? Is Kobayashi like, this to me feels like when one of those boxers just does the money grab.
Yes.
They haven't been fighting professionally at you know, for any sort of time recently, but they're like, you're going to give me a big payday, so I will go out there and fight this person who is clearly better than I am.
That is exactly what this is. And we are all going to watch. Actually, Mike posed a great question. Which will get more ratings? This September unfinished beef, as they're calling it, or July 4th normal Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship?
Great question. One of the things I would have posed to the panelists yesterday if I wasn't clunking my way through the final answer was, I will give $100. I will Venmo $100 to anyone who can tell me a single other competitor in the Nathan's July 4th hot dog eating contest.
Jeffrey Esper.
Is that someone?
Yeah.
No, you would have got $100
second place guy last year.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, nobody knows anyone else who is in this field. Joey Chestnut is the champ. I actually saw a lot of similarities with that thing. I'm doing the handshake meme here in front of the camera with Caitlin Clark, right? Everybody's like, eyeballs of Caitlin Clark, and she's not on the Olympic team, but I digress. More people will watch the Netflix thing.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be anticlimactic because Joey will win by about 24 sausages, and then we'll be done.
Yeah. How do you feel about competitive eating, just generally speaking? Because Ted Perry, who I worked with for a very long time at Fox 6, would every year talk about how he felt it was in a display of gluttony, and how there are all these people out there who do not have food, and then we're out there just celebrating somebody who can house 50
hot dogs. I am indifferent on it. I don't stop my July 4th to watch it, if that's what you're asking, but I'm not disgusted by it. I'm not like, bah. I've never seen it live, though. Maybe it's different if you saw it in person.
I feel like it'd be grosser if you saw it in person.
For sure.
But generally.
Because they dunk the hot dogs in the water.
Yeah, it's not pretty.
And then they become these soggy messes so that they can like swallow them down faster.
I think we say competitive eating. It's less eating and more of, like, I don't know what I would describe it as, but it's like not
stomach
eating.
Stretching, right? That, it's like the whole, like, that's part of it as well.
They're training, like Jen said, so they clearly
I can't imagine anything
which again
worse.
Is why I will not be mad at Joey Chestnut for taking the $1.2 million to endorse Impossible Foods versus the training he would have to go through for, hear this, $200,000. Mm-hmm. I'm not great at math. It was my worst subject on the ACT last weekend. But even I know $1.2 million is better than $200,000.
Around the horn champion ESPN Milwaukee's Jen Latta. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
6:58.